Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey there, Mr. Mellard.
Hey, Doug Benson.
It's Thursday, May 19th, 2022. So you know what that means.
It's May 19th.
What?
It's May 19th.
That's one of the things it means. I guess it has multiple meanings, but what I was leading up to is we're making a show because it's a Thursday. Then people can listen to it on Friday, and we do that three times a month.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, just reminding you and me and the listeners and any new listeners that that's how it works. We've got another great guest today. If it weren't for that one famous general, he could be one of those people that just goes by one name. Right? Patton. <Yeah. laughs> Patton could be a Madonna or a Cher if it wasn't for fucking General Patton.
Yeah, always screwing things up.
Oh my God, that guy's the worst. But we'll talk to Patton Oswalt all about all of his name, including, I don't think I know what his middle name is, but I have a guess. Yeah. Do you have a guess?
Oh, no clue.
Let's each guess. This could be a new recurring feature. Let's each guess what we think the person's middle name is.
Yeah.
It's crazy if one of us got it right. I'm going to guess Walter.
I will say Ezekiel.
Oh, no way. There's no way.
If I get it, though, that's going to be huge.
Right. I'm not even going to write it down, though, because I will remember that you said Ezekiel. If he says Ezekiel. All right. Let's go to work.
Gorgeous.
Hello, Patton Oswalt.
Hello, Doug Benson. Hello, Doug Mellard.
Hey, dude.
Did anyone ever say hello, Doug's Mellard and Benson?
That has not happened yet.
Doesn't Mellard and Benson sounds like a high-end, like, luggage store? Spoke luggage. But, like, where the suitcases are literally, like, you buy the suitcase so that you can show off that you have it. That kind of thing.
Yeah, I think there's like Murphy and Johnston, like that could.
Yeah, Mellard and Benson. That sounds really nice. That rolls really nicely. I'm saying, if you're going to do
it's just hot, you know, people are going to think that we're not alphabetical because you know, Doug has something on me or something.
I don't know. I like that. That would roll really nicely into like a hip hop rhyme. Or they're like, you know, I ain't no wishy-washy standing on the fence and rolling downtown with my Mellard and Benson, like whatever it is, in, with your luggage or pot or something bespoke. Sounds really good.
Well, the bottom line is we have a new theme song for next year. We'll put a little beat under that and get rid of the heavy metal because I think rap's going to make a comeback.
Somehow make it.
Somebody's gonna turn the rap game back on. Mm-hmm. All right, well, thank you for being here, and can you disclose your location?
I'm currently speaking to you from Chicago, Illinois, but I will not say what hotel.
Yeah, that's fair. Give us the room number, though, just in case somebody gets lucky and finds the hotel.
Oh, you know what? That'll actually be kind of fun. I'm in room. This will be like a little fun scavenger hunt. I'm in room 524, and I'm not lying. I'm in 524. Let's see if the phone rings while I'm sitting here.
Oh my God. Can you imagine then calling the person in for stalking and then being like, I'm not stalking, I'm on a scavenger hunt.
I'm a winner.
Yeah.
But you got gigs this weekend elsewhere that aren't in Chicago, right?
Yes. Tonight I'm doing a screening of a movie that I shot last year. It's part of the Chicago Film Critics Festival. And then Saturday morning I go to Grand Rapids. And then from there I go to Madison.
Yeah, I figured there had to be a reason other than just Chicago is awesome for stopping off there on your way to those other places. Right. And the movie is it I Love You, Daddy?
It's called I Love You, Dad. No, it's called I Love My Dad. I Love You, Daddy is a different film, you know.
I'm so confused by all the dad love titles. And don't get me started about P.S. I Love You. Is that to a dad?
That's not to a dad, actually.
That's to a dead husband, right?
I thought it was, yes. Oh my God, that is to a dead. It's a husband who's died who leaves a note for his widow.
Yes. Think,
yeah. And
Gerard Butler.
Gerard Butler and what's her name?
Hilary Swank.
Two comedy greats.
Yes. One of the all-time great romantic comedies because he dies immediately.
Yes, exactly. He dies immediately. And then you have the bubbly manic charm of Hilary Swank.
It turns into motherhood of the traveling pants because it's a bunch of middle-aged ladies hanging out together trying to help her get her groove back.
Oh, there you go. Oh,
okay. Kathy Bates is up in there.
Is she?
Oh yeah.
And wait, Patton, this is what you're promoting?
Well, I'm promoting the women. I'm sorry. P.S. I Love You. No, I'm not promoting P.S. I Love You. I'm promoting I Love My Dad. And then these, when does this podcast drop?
It'll be out tonight. So the screening will have happened and all of Chicago will be talking about Chicagoland will be ablaze with roaring reviews.
I'll be read tomorrow.
A guy wrote to me on Twitter today. I just asked randomly, on the Douglas Movies account, what movie are you going to go see today? And the guy wrote, I'm going to see I Love You, Dad tonight. And I was like, this guy is a liar. That movie isn't out. But he's going to be at the screening. He's going to act extra familiar with you. So just beware.
Lovely. Well, luckily the screening is at the Music Box, which is one of my favorite theaters. So I can look forward to that. That'll be really fun.
That's a beautiful establishment that I've only seen one movie in.
Which one?
I cannot wait to tell you.
Oh, because I've only seen one movie in it too. And I can remember it very vividly.
Oh, okay. My one movie I saw there was Passenger 57.
Oh my God.
Wait, hold on. Were you working a weekend at like Zanies or something?
Yeah, it was a matinee and it was like pre-Zanies even. It was when they had an improv there that was very, very busy.
No kidding.
I saw Passenger 57 one day with a very black crowd. So it was extra entertaining for me to be a little white boy sitting there listening to all the people tell all the characters how dumb they are. And as is the tradition in black cinema, you root for the bad guy. So the bad guy's the super white guy. And so people like had his back more than Wesley Snipes. It was crazy.
What?
Yeah, it was nuts.
I remember even before I saw the movie, I remember Janine's joke about it. Janine Garofalo, she's, because it's Die Hard on a plane, but it's like, how many hiding places can the poor guy have? And one of her jokes was like, he pops out of the bathroom and shoots a guy and goes, occupied. Like everything has like a little catchphrase to it, which I thought was delightful.
Yeah.
And Doug, what was the famous catchphrase of that movie that was in the trailer?
Oh, I mean, it's the dumbest. It's such a great dumb catchphrase because people love to say it when they're gambling. And it's like, you're insane. That does not, it's not a real rule.
Yeah,
because he says always bet on black. which is amazing. It's an amazing thing to say in a movie like that, but it's people take it to the roulette table and they're just dumb.
Yeah, and he phrases it like, you know what they say in gambling, always bet on black. It'll be so cool if he did that and one of the other guys was like, that's actually not you kind of watch the table and see how the wheel goes. You don't actually just go in and bet on black. You know that's wrong, right?
That was hilarious. You know what they say in gambling? Sometimes the greens come up.
That was weird because that was during that time when Wesley was really blowing up as an action star. So he had Passenger 57, but he also had Murder at 1600. And that had a great catchphrase where he said, there's been a murder at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, an address that changes all the rules. And I think Barrett and Tompkins did a thing where they played.
No, that was me.
Oh, that was you.
Yeah.
The operator on the other end going, oh, I'm sorry, what, is there a rule change? Because I didn't hear, like, what,
how? Yeah, this whole just discussion about how when there's a murder at the White House, rules are changed. But, like, what rules and why?
Yeah, what are you talking about?
What are you talking? Why is there suddenly a bunch of new rules? This is Bill Maher didn't write this, did he? all right. Well, speaking of movies, what was your one movie at the Music Box? We don't want to leave people hanging on that one.
Speed 2.
Oh, I got to go see the Roadshow version of The Hateful Eight, Tarantino's Hateful Eight. Mm-hmm. And that theater is so, it's like going to see a classic film at the Castro in San Francisco, where when it has an overturn, it has an intermission, you really feel like you've done a little bit of time travel. Like, oh yeah, this is the kind of movie I should be watching in this theater. Because it's
Speaking of overtures, Patton, they do them so rarely now at Broadway shows that when they do happen, the audience squirms like they're in fucking church.
Yeah.
Like they cannot handle it. They're like, why isn't it starting? Like they're just sitting there out of their minds, and it just is so distracting and it's hard to enjoy.
Yeah. And it's like, this is par for the course, people. You don't act like this is weird.
Yeah. This is what they do. It's fun and exciting. Like, it's just like how there's no opening credits anymore. It's like, it's just a title card for most movies.
Yeah.
And it's like, especially big movies just want to get right into it. Like you're going to fucking pay all that money and get a seat for Doctor Strange and go, oh, these credits are too long. I'm out. Refund.
Although, how weird is it to watch like a movie like Jaws, and when they do the end credits, it's literally two screens. That's it. It's like, this is before all the unions were like, hey, we should get credit here. So the end credits and beginning credits of a movie used to be so short that you could just say every personnel on it, like, boom, there it is. Okay, here we go. We're done.
Yeah, and then certain specialty areas started getting more and more, you know, action, but they'd be like in the opening credits, and then at the very end, it would just say the end. Like, you know, like Edith Head. You'd always see Edith Head at the beginning because she was such a big costume designer that they had to
get her own card. Yeah, get her own card. Yeah, that was also really weird how there was a time in the 80s when every weekend there was a new slasher film, especially if it was a holiday-based slasher film. And they would in the trailer and even on the poster sometimes, the makeup guy would get the biggest credit of everyone in the film. Like from Tom Savini, like The Burning, Tom Savini is the biggest name on the poster. Like the guy that did the effects on Maniac and Friday the 13th is going to kill some people in this. Would you like to come see what he did with the blood bags and the latex? Because it's going to be exciting.
I do love blood bags.
Yeah, but they would. I think there's a trailer for a movie called The Prowler, and the main thing of the trailer is from Tom Savini. Like, someone wrote the movie, someone directed it, but Tom Savini is the guy that's going, "Hey, you psychopaths like this dude, right? Come on, he's done more stuff."
I mean, you know. Our first time we got to really lay eyes on him, he had his intestines pulled out of his body. So he has a memorable first impression.
that stays with you.
The Internet Movie Database, or database, depending on if you're a Star Trek fan or not, I guess.
Nicely done.
Mm-hmm. They I typed in patent just for the hell of it, you know, because I'm all about research for a podcast. And you came up.
I better IMDb my friend that I've known since the 90s. Let's see what he does.
Let's see what happens. But so you came out at number three. People with patent in your name or movies or TV shows with patent. I just put it into the overall search.
Okay.
But so you came out pretty high considering you came out above, you know, the movie patent, which that's an achievement in and of itself, I think. But who do you think were number one and two of people with the name Patton?
Well, I know that Paula Patton must have beat me.
Yeah, Paula Patton's number two. But then number one, this kind of surprised me. He must be in something that's currently popular because that's how IMDb works.
Oh, okay. Who?
Yeah.
Because when I type P-A-T-T, Robert Pattinson comes up first. But if there's a Patton, wait a minute. Is it Sean Patton?
No, when I look today, because also it's always changing, but when I look today, it was Will Patton.
Oh, my God. What? Yeah, that's how IMDb. Sometimes he must be in something that's coming out.
Yeah, must be some reason people are typing his name into this search.
Will Patton's always been great.
Yeah,
he's such a great actor. I've loved him since No Way Out and Desperately Seeking Susan. He's just always made the weirdest choices. He's great.
Yeah, he hasn't really gone like the typical route. Plus, he also is one of those actors that somehow is avoided, like you'd ever see him on talk shows.
Yeah, because I think he's one of those guys that is constantly working. I think he just likes to work.
Yeah.
And it feels like the promo stuff, he's like, I don't want it. Who cares? Let me just go and make another movie.
Yeah, I think so. I think he's a really consummate actor, as they like to say, even though to me it sounds like he just jizzed on something.
His delivery of the line in Armageddon, what are you doing with a gun in space? Because he says it's so serious, which makes it so funny, because he's so deadly serious about his question. What are you doing with a gun in space?
Yeah. It's so funny too. Like if people can't remember exactly who said that line, like that's part of the thing about him is he's always, I always recognize him. I feel like, but he is like one of those character actors. Like he's like, sort of like Steve Zahn.
Yep.
You know, dare I say Gary Sinise, maybe, I don't know, but like these guys that like, you know, they're just not in one of those movies that's like so indelible.
Right.
In the case of Armageddon, like that thing is just so full of known faces, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So huge. It's just that was so massive.
Oh, but you know what's doing it for him right now, I bet?
What?
Is that he's in Yellowstone.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's in freaking Yellowstone.
Yeah, so everyone's mom and dad have made him huge.
Yeah, they're like in mid-season right now. I mean, this crazy resurgence of these Westerns, because now they're making another one with Harrison Ford.
Yeah,
it's another spin-off of Yellowstone. Like, just, you know, I mean, the West was pretty big, so I guess you can just put in a different spot in a different year.
Oh, well, wait a minute. The one with Harrison Ford and also Helen Mirren is a prequel, right?
Probably, yeah, because the one with Sam Elliott's a prequel to the one with Kevin Costner.
But the Kevin Costner one takes place in present day, does it not?
I think it might. I'm not sure. That's a great question.
Is Harrison Ford playing a young Kevin Costner?
No, it's different generations.
He's going to play Kevin Costner's character in middle school. There is amazing CGI on him.
It's like different generations of unlikely movie tough guys.
Yeah. Well, Kevin Costner is, by the way, speaking of Kevin Costner, you know, Will Patton was the big villain in The Postman and was great in that. They have that huge fight at the end. He and
I just like hearing that you think something is great in The Postman.
Look, I know The Post. I saw that the day it came out. I saw it with, it was me, Greg Proops, and Brian Posehn all went to together just to sit there and make fun of it. Like, we couldn't believe what we were seeing. But there are, sadly enough, it's one of those badly made science fiction movies where a lot of the shit in it is sort of coming true, which feels uncomfortable in a lot of ways. The idea of people building compounds and seceding and trying to build their own weird societies out in the mountains and stuff like that, right, is sort of happening in a fucked up way.
I don't know what America you're living in.
Yeah, we used to get it, like Sid, and we could watch with our popcorn, our laughs, post-apocalyptic movies, like with a real, like, this is fantasy kind of attitude. And now you watch, you know, now these things, I hope they make less of them these days. I know there's people out there that want to be even more scared by what's going on, but I'm fine at the threat level that I'm living now, you know?
Yeah, I'm okay. I don't need to pay money to feel despondent and nihilistic. It's a little weird. But I wonder if, because America does feel like it's coming apart, is there comfort in watching a show like Yellowstone, which is about people that, even though there's a lot of soap opera intrigue and backstabbing and stuff, it's still about people who are rugged and can live off the land on their own. Like, there must be something weirdly comforting about that.
Well, yeah, I'll tell you what's comforting about it is that these people's survival rates are incredible for the time period. Like,
yeah,
that there's whole families, like Little House in the Prairie, like there's a whole family and they're all alive through 10 seasons of the show. Come on.
Yeah.
The Prairie was a little rougher.
Not a spot of dysentery anywhere.
Yeah. You know, and then you watch like the Coen brothers, A Ballad of Buster Scruggs, and like they find a way to just pick people off. And no matter what the Western scenario is in that movie, people are going to die.
Oh, yeah.
It's really, it's brutal. It's really, I think Thanos may have produced it.
That's what was so tragic about Kevin Costner, even though he's had a huge resurgence because of Yellowstone. But Waterworld and Postman kind of put him in movie jail. So when he released Open Range, which is a genuinely brilliant Western movie, nobody went and saw it. And I saw it in the theater and I couldn't believe how good it was. And I was like, oh, he's the boy who's cried bad movies so often that now that he's put out a good movie, everyone's like, well, this must suck too. And it didn't.
That was part of the problem is his big Oscar movie, Dances with Wolves, you know, when he won director and best picture, mm-hmm. Like became dated, like, you know, before it left cinemas, it was like people were immediately over it. And immediately like, oh, Dances with Wolves, what kind of cultural appropriation bullshit is this? And it's sort of that movie's sort of in kind of movie jail. It's like, you know, you're talking about best picture winners that don't deserve to be there. Like, it's right in line right after Crash, probably. But
that one for me, it's not only is it right in line behind Crash, but it's also, it lost best movie and director to Goodfellas. Which is literally part of our vernacular now in terms of slang, in terms of explaining things in a way like, oh, they just did him. Like, Madison Cawthorn just got taken out by the Republican Party. They took him out. And almost everyone that was writing about it politically was like, this is like they Joe Pesci'd him in Goodfellas. He was costing them too much money, and they took him and whacked him. Like, the campaign that unseated him was run by the Republicans. So like, that is now part of our, and Dance with Wolves, no one brings that up anywhere. No.
Yeah, it's a terrible, the whole thing is rough. The main Indian lady is played by, a lovely actress, but she's like a white lady.
Well, she was a white girl that was captured.
Oh, right.
Raised by them. But again, there's still that it's still that weird white savior thing of like, thank God, white guy.
Why is that the story to tell? Like, when they made that Stephen Biko movie with Denzel Washington, Stephen Biko was a supporting character, and the white guy played by Kevin Kline was the hero of the movie.
Yeah.
It's just crazy.
Yeah, I forgot there was that weird spate of white high school principal movies. There was one with Jim Belushi, and there was one with Tom Berenger, and then was also the one with Michelle Pfeiffer, educator that goes, and there was a black writer, I forgot who wrote this, but he basically called it and goes, these are modern Tarzan movies for white supremacists. These are, well, if we could just get a white guy in there to tame Africa, but like you can't do that anymore because it's so blatant. So they change it to, what, don't you care about our educational system? Like, it's so evil what they do, how they sneak it in.
Man, this got way deep.
No, I mean,
I'm sure there were a lot of 57 of this.
Yeah, I'm sure there were a lot of like liberals going, patting themselves on the back, going, "Isn't it wonderful what we're showing?" It's like, no, you're not looking at it from your perspective here.
Yeah,
an African American watching this is beyond insulted right now, and they're even more insulted that you're going, "You're welcome." You know what? You're welcome. I did a pretty good job here.
Yeah, I'll take Stand and Deliver every day. That everyone was correct in that, right?
God, that movie was so good. Yeah.
I mean, Lou Diamond Phillips isn't going to turn out to be a white guy, right?
Oh, God.
Speaking of cool names like Lou Diamond Phillips.
Ooh.
Because is Diamond his real middle name, or is that his nickname that he just put into his SAG name? Like, where'd that come from?
Because there's not quotes around Diamond.
Because Lou Phillips would not have been the success that Lou Diamond Phillips is. There's no way.
Exactly. We got to do.
I mean,
we got to get Lou Phillips for the Richie Valens story.
Nobody ever is demanding that Lou Phillips show up for something.
Lou. Hey, Lou.
Lewis Phillips.
I wonder if there's a guy in SAG that was popular or like around the same time he was starting out named Lou Phillips. It's just so bummed out there.
Wow. Another Lou taking all the work. And what's isn't Lou Diamond Phillips in something right now? He's a lot of these actors, these big stars from the 80s and 90s are now in these really good, like solid, not going to go anywhere anytime soon TV series. Like that has become like a better version of Branson for movie actors, or these big limited TV series.
Yeah. A lot of them need older characters and stuff. The last thing I saw Lou, the last place I saw LDP was he was a prisoner, a tough guy prisoner in a recurring role when Andy Samberg was in prison on Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Oh my Lord.
Yeah. Oh, it's terrific. The two main characters in prison are Lou Diamond Phillips, who's the guy he's scared of while he's in prison. And then the guy he becomes buddies with is a person who's been put away for being a cannibal. He's in jail for life, but he's really nice guy played by Tim Meadows.
Oh God. Tim Meadows. I still think one of the most underrated comedic performances ever is Tim Meadows in Mean Girls. Is one of the funniest. This guy who it's an authority figure with no authority, and he's so zen about how absolutely no authority that he has. All of his scenes make me laugh so hard in that.
Yeah, he's great. And, he's got a pretty Tim is a, we haven't had a Tim on the show yet. That name, I don't know. It feels like it might be falling out of favor or something. Oh, Timothy Chalamet. So I guess you got to go full Timothy now.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's still
Timothy Meadows would have been terrible. That would have been terrible for Tim Meadows. No. Timothy Meadows.
No. Timothy Meadows, that doesn't work. Timothy Roth doesn't work. No, none of that works.
All right. So, Pat.
Tim. Who's the other one? Oh, Timothy Robbins.
Oh yeah, yeah. They all go Tim, but they all have been around for a minute. So maybe Timothy is the new way to go. But in the case of Patton, what was that like? Just as a first name, to have a name so unique, but also that children could probably latch on to war references.
Right. I mean, it's not like it rhymes with like fatten or splatten or anything like that. So that I gotcha.
I mean, the rhyme thing fucks most of us. You gotta admit, yeah. Like most names, you can rhyme something pretty bad.
Exactly. My only thing was I hate the name Pat. So when I say my name, but I don't want to ever go Patton. So when I'll try to say my name, what's your name? Patton. Pat. And then I got to go, no, Patton, and then I look like I'm this weird particular guy in which I don't want to be, but I just, the name Pat is so dopey. I don't know why I don't like that name. It just
feels I think that's like probably reason number one and amongst many, but it's a very big reason why you're not a person who spent a lot of time in loud nightclubs.
Well, yeah, you know what?
Because you're constantly having to make people figure it out in a situation where it's hard to talk.
Yes. I heard there's a great, there's some Roger Ebert review where he talks about loud nightclubs are meant for young, good-looking people because you're not going to do a whole lot with your personality or your conversation. So that's when the loud music and the bright lights are there to help you because you don't have that much to talk about yet. And it's as you get older, then you want to maybe go to dinner with just one person or be somewhere quiet because you got to use your conversation and your charm to get you through. And so I was just never, although when I was young, I never liked loud ass nightclubs. I never understood the appeal. It always bummed me out.
But you're into it now, right?
Yeah.
What?
He said you're into it now, right?
Oh, well, now, you kidding? That's all I do. no, I've never been like, nothing was worse to me than you'd be at a comedy club and the staff was like, and we all go hang out afterwards. And like, you'd be in the back in the kitchen. There's always photos of like them as a group screaming at the camera. And I'm like, oh, I know I'm not going to hang out with these guys. Like, I love them, but I don't want it. When I'm done with my work, I want to go and be quiet and meditate. I don't want to be somewhere with In Excess's New Sensation blasting in my ear while I'm trying to talk to someone. I just can't do it.
I really thought you were about to tell us there's a new In Excess song.
That would be crazy.
Yeah. You got to hear their New Sensation before anybody else. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I like that. I instinctually never drop back to calling you Pat. I just always referred to you as Patton and had no problem doing so.
And I did you the favor of never calling you Douglas.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's a nice fair exchange, but also just, it just makes sense. Cause that's like, you know, I probably saw your name in print a few times before I even met you in person.
Yeah.
And that's your name, Patton. So, yeah. What about that goddamn It's Pat sketch on SNL?
Well, It's Pat is one of those things that has aged insanely badly. Very funny at the time because now the one way it's aged well is it's a great document as to how straight cis people looked at trans people back then. So in a weird way, it's good that we like, oh, that's how things were for trans people back then. But what's kind of interesting is that, I don't know if you watched, there's a show called Work in Progress, which is about a woman who kind of, and it's a, this woman, Abby McNanny, who is a, she kind of looks like It's Pat in real life. And so she is, and Julia Sweeney plays herself in the series taking shit for doing the It's Pat sketches and trying to deal with it. It's really funny where she's like, I did not think that was going to age as badly as it did. Oh my God. It's really incredible.
Yeah. And you know, and Julia was so funny as that character, like it could have just been a man or a woman and just who acts that way. Right. I mean, Stefan is this crazy character, but I never really think, I guess he probably makes jokes about his sexuality, but I just, you know, think he reads pretty obviously, but also can be so over the top, you know. It's, it's very unsettling how poorly things have aged.
But in the same sense, though, I'm glad that things age poorly because then you have a document of how things were. You can, and you can, it's actually comforting when you look back and go, as bold and progressive as SNL was in the 70s, they were cool with John Belushi doing a Japanese samurai character, basically doing just another version of Mickey Rooney in Breakfast at Tiffany's. All of these woke so-called hip liberals were laughing at some pretty cringy stuff, and it just shows you how far we've come. And I also really love the fact that we chose a profession that our stuff does not last. It does. even if it doesn't get canceled, nothing is funny forever. There's a reason that they don't have someone dressed up like Laurel and Hardy or Charlie Chaplin walking around Universal Studios anymore, because people don't know who the hell they are, and their stuff just doesn't really hold up the way that we would want it to. But that's kind of the fun of comedy, is you really are creating in the moment. That's what makes it more thrilling to me.
That reminds me of how, you know, I've really been hooked lately on old Match Game and Richard Dawson.
Oh, boy.
Was, I mean, there's a whole lot of things, but one thing that he was as a comedian was he was always doing impressions of W.C. Fields and Laurel and Hardy. And it was like, I remember thinking back at the time that when I was a child in the 70s, I wouldn't have gotten what he was doing. And he would just do it all the time. He'd always fiddle with his tie like Oliver Hardy. And it was just so,
yeah,
it's so funny to watch now, because he was also under the guise of being like, he was thought to be like the smoothest guy, you know, he was so cool. Mm-hmm. But then he'd do that all the time. It's so funny.
I also love, what I love is watching, you can see a couple of them on YouTube, and it's, again, it's very fun to watch just for the cringe factor, is before he got to host Family Feud, he was like promised a host spot on a game show. Like, he was sick of being a panelist because he was the breakout star on.
Absolutely, yeah.
Before Charles Nelson Reilly took the throne from him. So I believe in his last season, he was so pissed at the network because they were still negotiating his contract that he stopped doing all of his funny stuff. And they would come to him and they would go, you know, and they, so she was mad that they didn't rearrange the blank. He'd just go, chairs, and then just sit there and not say anything. And Gene would try to get some banter going with him. And he would just go, chairs, just, it's chairs. Is it not chairs? Okay, move on. Like, he was throwing this weird temper tantrum until he got his show. And it's so amazing to watch that.
Oh, like, wow.
That was his form of civil disobedience, is I'm going to stop be entertaining on this game show till I get what I want.
Yeah, I've heard stories. It's unfortunate because it's like, to watch the show, they all just seem to be having a great time for the most part. But it's still like, it's interesting that behind the scenes there was such acrimony between some of them. But sometimes they'd also just insult each other pretty openly, which is also fun. But, you know, that, speaking of Richard Dawson, we'll move on in a second. We actually have to take a commercial break. But speaking of Richard Dawson, they would so often, the guests would, the contestants would pick him for the one-on-one match like 90% of the time.
Oh, yeah.
Even when somebody else would give him the answer that got him to that spot, they'd still go, I want to go with Richard, because he was pretty good at it too. But like, a lot of them also just wanted to kiss him. But when they win, because every time they win, there's a smooch, but just so weird to watch. Even pre-Pando, but after Pando, it's like, God damn. So... we were such monsters back then. We didn't know what the fuck we were doing. But but they brought into the show, remember how at one point suddenly the contestant had to spin a wheel to determine who they would super match with?
Yes.
And that was because Richard, they didn't want him to get picked so much, so they did that so that he get picked less often.
Oh my gosh.
And that was the beginning of it. That's when he probably started to get really weird with them. And, you know, eventually he got Family Feud out of it.
And then he got Family Feud out of it, which he was fantastic at.
Yeah, he's good. He's a good host of it. He strangely doesn't hold up well compared to Steve Harvey today, because Steve Harvey, he's just keeping it moving, no bullshit thing. Oh, really, yeah. It really makes me happy. Like, but one night he did an extended riff that was like a couple minutes long, and we were both, my girlfriend and I, our jaws were dropping because he does not do that very often on the current version of the show. He just moves along, but he had this bit. He just like, it wasn't even funny. He just kept you know, going on and on about something. But I'm going on and on. We need to go to a break.
Okay.
This hour is whizzing by. But, you know, go take a whiz if you need to. We'll be right back.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget. Mm-mm-mm. Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery.
We are back, and we are, our bladders are empty. And we are ready to ask a very important question that we ask on this show. Patton, would you tell us your middle name, please?
Oh, God, this is even worse.
Oh, no.
My middle name is Peter.
Patton.
Okay.
Patton Peter Oswalt.
So did you have a discussion with your parents at some point about the why they went with the alliteration there on the Patton Peter thing?
My dad really wanted me to be named Patton because all the names in the baby book he didn't like. And then, but my mom was like, well, I want to name him after one of my brothers. And then they just didn't have that sense of aesthetics that you need to go, wait a minute, let's roll these together. I just don't think they thought it through as well as they did, because Patton Peter is such a goofy, stupid name. I mean, it really is.
They might as well have named you Patton Pending.
Yes, why not? Do a fucking pun with it. I mean, if you're going to have that much fun, make it a picnic. I mean, I don't know what.
Oh, Patton Picnic Oswalt.
Oh, don't even, please.
Let's go on a Patton Picnic.
Patton Picnic Oswalt. Oh.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the good part about the middle name is that, you know, no matter how much shame it brings you, it doesn't have to come up often, and you get to... you get to set the terms, unless you're showing your ID to somebody and then they're just being an asshole if they're taking time out to check your middle name and then try to dunk you for it.
I hate my middle name so much that I don't even have it on my credit cards. Like if I can have, if I have a choice and they say, what is your credit card number or what is your middle name? And then if it's not required, I never put it in. I hate that so much.
Oh my
sometimes
God.
It's required, sometimes it's not.
Yeah, I've got cards that are both, and in fact, all of my names, like, because like one of my current, you know, I've got a Douglas out there, and it's crazy. But
like, so would your parents call you Douglas or?
No, never. I mean, I can't even picture it really. Not even when they're mad, because it's just quicker to say Doug, even when you're mad.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. It is. You know, it's way quicker.
Yeah, I don't understand the people that, you know, drag out people's names when they're angry. That's more like they're more scolding at that point. They're like, you know, dragging your name out just to make you feel bad. But Patton Peter Oswalt. Yeah, that's a real speed bump there on those those first two. But you know, good number of syllables, I think. You know, I think the flow is all right in that sense, but
I disagree. The flow sounds like the beginning of a nursery rhyme, and that's why I don't like it.
Yeah.
Well, it also sounds like you're talking about two people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Who?
Is Pat and Peter coming over? What's going on? What's going on with Pat and Peter?
Boy, those guys, you should see them together all the time. They're not, I don't know what's going on with them.
Also interesting, like, yeah, your parents really, it sounds like they did a little research into baby names, but not, you know, didn't go crazy with it, because I would also think that people would be even more likely to make a mistake that I'm sure you already have to deal with all the time of calling you Oswalt instead of Oswald.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because you're already revving the P's so hard. Pat and Peter, Oswald.
There's a lot of, I do a lot of amending when I meet people. There's a lot of asterisks when I meet people for the first time.
But I cringe when I see Oswald like in print somewhere or at a club I'm going to be playing where you're playing. Cause it's like, I don't know. It just, it weirds me out. But I guess also when you know the person that you're already starting from a place of like privilege or something, like, yes, you know, how could anybody get this wrong? But it seems like, it seems like one that they shouldn't get wrong like that. And, you know, it's like, I always drove me crazy with Bobcat Gold, you know, when they go Gold Waith.
Oh man.
Instead of Gold Thwaite. And I'm just like, really? Is it that? But then again, you know, now that I'm getting older, I fuck up names all the time. So who am I to judge?
I wonder how far away we are from the age where like movie and TV titles, we just sort of start scrambling them in our brain. Cause you know, that's coming. I mean, we're still of the age where like, no, it's called Lord of the Rings, but we will eventually get to the age that I think Doug or Greg Barron talked about when his dad was like, you've seen that movie, Go Get the Rings, or like everything is just kind of close enough as far as titles are concerned. Does that happen to everyone or just some people?
You want to take that one, Doug?
I think with how dumb we're getting with TikTok and everything else, that's definitely going to happen to everybody. And probably at a younger age. Like, it's coming sooner than later.
Yes. Yes. I would actually agree with that. I think that's coming, unfortunately.
Oh, God.
What about with a name like Patton, do people need to, does anybody that you're close to or that you went to school with, did anybody give you a nickname that stuck for any period of time?
No, although I do remember Janine Garofalo would always say Patton. She loved to say Patton or Patel Baton. She loved to stress that second syllable like she was from Louisiana. And so there were certain people like Tony Kameen and stuff that would say it that way.
Yes.
I remember that one. But for the most part, I mean, I got the, from the bullies, I got the, like the Fatten and stuff like that. But there was nothing, that never felt creative to me because that was my first experience with, oh, wait a minute. I think I might even be more creative than my bullies. Like it took the sting away when you're like, well, that was the first thing I thought of. Didn't you think of, there's better things you could do? You know what I mean?
That is an interesting point. Cause like all the ones I think back on, you know, my replies, you know, you're never going to like burn them back in a way that, you know, where everybody suddenly got you on their shoulders, you know, but you're not going to turn into Rudy all of a sudden, but I did always reply with, you know, the same thing I apply to hecklers now, which is just trying to answer the question that they're raising, you know, or find out why they're saying that, you know. And
yeah, if you try to put logic over their stupidity, it tends to rip them apart pretty quickly.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause the one I got hit with a lot was Benson and Hedges cigarettes. And like cigarettes were popular when I was a kid. Like it wasn't like, you know, it wasn't like these kids were like ahead of their time and, you know, knew how bad the cancer was going to be and that you shouldn't smoke while pregnant, you know? So it was just the dumbest. It's just such a knee jerk. I mean, it wasn't even called Hedges and Benson. It's called Benson and Hedges. So they just give it to you. It's just right there. Also, you like, just say it.
It doesn't work. And it also, it fails in two eras. Cause like you said, in the 70s, it's like, well, yeah, so you're saying I'm a popular thing. And then in the 90s, when Benson and, like, you know, smoking just kind of went away, and especially like brands like Benson and Hedges, and you can't do an insult where the person goes, well, no, what is that? Oh, it's a brand of cigarette. It used to be a brand of cigarettes called Benson and Hedges. And so, oh, okay. Like, that's such a
bad. You're right. It's true. I recently tried to insult somebody by saying, go put on your Garanimals, and nobody knew what I was talking about.
You gotta know what's the latest stores are. If you sling a store that no one knows what you're talking about, I feel like in another generation, you know, Kmart is not going to be an insult anymore.
Oh,
yeah. Gone, and they won't know quite what that means.
Yeah, just, you know, oh, you shop at abandoned building.
I love when people know the phraseology of comedy, but not how it's supposed to be used, especially some open micers. I'll never forget, I was hosting an open mic up in Toronto, and an open micer went up, and he was actually doing pretty well. He wasn't not funny, but at one point he goes, man, the black on black crime is really getting out of hand. Right, ladies? Oh my God. He had heard the phrase right, ladies, but he's like, no, you can't just throw that at the end of any fucking joke.
Or at the end, it's just a statement still at that point.
Exactly. Yeah. It's just that you haven't made the joke yet.
It's not even a joke. You're just, you know, just hoping to get that extra laugh. Just saying the right comedy words.
That made me laugh so hard when I heard it. It just made me laugh. So hard.
I'm going to get serious for a moment. Every life is precious. Am I right, ladies?
Yeah. I just, that kind of stuff I love.
Does anybody ever, do they enjoy referring to you by names of characters you've played?
Yeah, I get a lot of, I've been in the kind of things where the titles get messed up a lot. So when I was on King of Queens, there was a lot of like, you're on the Kings with Queens. Kings and Queens? What's the show? Kings and, like, they would, like, ask a million, and I would always just kind of agree, yeah, Kings and Queens. Like, I didn't want to go down the whole, like, well, no, actually, it's called, you know, I don't want to be that guy.
Yeah, and suddenly you're, like, suddenly less powerful than them because they're the idiot.
Yeah, but you got to go out of your way to be polite. I don't want to be an asshole.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah. And then I also get a lot of, you play Ratatouille. And I've never once gone, well, the rat's name is Remy. Because then I turn into, the doctor's name is Frankenstein. Okay, shut up. So I never want to be that.
Yeah, yeah, but also.
I want you to be that.
I think they call you Ratatouille, though, because, you know, obviously it's the title, but also Remy is like somehow more foreign.
Yeah.
You know, like it's a word people feel weird saying. It's like, you know, like it's like if you meet a man named Michelle, it feels weird.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're right. It does sound, Remy does sound more foreign.
Yeah. And it's just like harder for people to remember and then think they're saying it right. Whereas Ratatouille, it's been drilled into everybody just by, you know, just by the popularity of it. Like,
yeah.
I just posted about it on Instagram the other day because I saw some, you know, an old picture I'd taken of some Ratatouille stuff. Oh, and really? But they still got this rat. That rat's still rocking the, you know, his image is pretty much all over the place still. Yeah. So,
good.
So you're still going to get that from people, unfortunately.
Well, especially with everything all at once.
Yeah. Oh boy. Yeah. That one really, I went to a screening. I was like, I could not believe what I was seeing.
Yeah, I saw the movie before you did, and I was just like, well, there's one part you're really going to love.
And when I was done seeing it, I texted Brad Bird and said, dude, go see Everything Everywhere All at Once and don't do any reading about it.
Yeah.
Which is good advice, regardless, even if you're not Brad Bird.
Right.
It's good advice to anyone.
Actually, like, I mean, it is. That movie has given me so much hope for, like, oh, you know, movies and theaters still work. It's you just got to be even more creative and more amazing with what you're doing. That's all you got to do.
Yeah, yeah. It's totally doable.
Yeah.
And, you know, and if you are, like, repurposing or rebooting or whatever, like, you know, it's still possible to make it interesting and not just do the obvious things, you know?
Right. Yeah.
And you know, I don't know why some of these titles, I don't know why couldn't you just put a couple of famous guys in a movie that's like Fast and Furious and just stop calling them Fast and Furious movies? Just have a different, something different about it, but still the same cool car crashes.
Yeah, if people like car crashes, you can do it without. Although, you know, they love the fucking brand recognition, and that's how they sell them overseas. It's all about, you got to make your money overseas. That's why people like Stallone and Jean-Claude Van Damme will make movies forever, because they can put their face on something and it makes a ton of money.
Yeah, just the words Fast and Furious, everybody all over the world knows what that means. Yeah. So, like, even if Vin Diesel really does dip after this 10th one, it's still going to be a franchise somehow. Like, they'll just come up with other, you know, I don't know if any of the other actors in the movies could have their own movie, but, you know, I don't think it's all about Vin.
I hope it's like passed on for generations, like the Bond, you know, role.
Yeah. I mean, don't you feel like Vin, I mean, do you think that Vin is suspicious, or he maybe just doesn't perceive that every sequel to this franchise has been an attempt to find a way to replace Vin and buy another character that they can spin off? Doesn't it feel that way?
Do you like type what you're saying during interviews like this? Like, are you your own stenographer?
You caught me. I was totally answering a text from home about a home emergency. And I was just like,
I can't. Oh, I know it was important because we could hear it. We can hear you texting, but also you're much better at it than I am. Because you were doing all the talking while you were texting. You didn't do it while we were talking.
Jesus.
So that was impressive.
Thanks for transcribing the show. Yeah. If you can send it, we're off. We appreciate it.
Yeah. We really like to have a copy, but is it, so everything's okay now?
Everything's fine now. Oh, God damn it.
That sounds great. Everything's fine.
You know, Doug's run. We run such a tight ship. I understand why you wouldn't want to say, hey, can we pause a minute? There's an emergency at my home.
Oh, my God. I mean, this show pops, 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 guys. I can't stop the flow for anything.
Oh my God, that's a funny bit. Like, a guy who's like always being interviewed while also, you know, doing things, you know, his everyday things that he has to do.
Trying to report constantly.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you this. I don't know why this popped into my head, but do you know Tony Hawk?
Yes, I know Tony Hawk very
because.
Well.
Because talk about a guy, is Hawk like a name he picked up along the way somewhere, or is that his real last name?
That is his. Have you seen Until the Wheels Come Off?
I haven't seen it yet. I bet you they start with Tony Hawk is his real name.
That's his real name.
And he always dared to fly. Not unlike his namesake.
He had a much crazier childhood than I thought that he had. It's a fascinating documentary as to how he had to kind of build his world and build his identity. But yeah, I've kind of become friends with him. He invited my family and I to go. This is during right as the pandemic was starting to loosen up, even though we all wore masks. He saw that Alice really liked skateboarding. I think I posted a video of her trying to skateboard, and he goes, if you guys want to drive down to San Diego, give her a lesson in my warehouse. I'm like, wow. So down we went, him and Tony Hawk and something Armstrong or O'Brien, this other skater, also amazing. And Alice was trying to learn how to do verts and stuff and was just incredible.
And that's probably why I thought that you might know Tony Hawk, because I probably saw footage of that on your social or something. Cause that is so damn cool. That is like ridiculous. Like, does she now, is your daughter going to be like, hey, I'm really into this thing. Could you, you know, like I'm really into fashion design now. Can you get, you know, what's your name from, can you get Anna Wintour to teach me something? Yeah, she'll teach. She'll be happy to teach her a lesson, I bet.
Oh, Anna Wintour is folksy and down home and just wants to hang out with a 13-year-old and teach her how to sew. I mean, that was just such a treat. And also just to, you know, there was a weird parallel in the, oh, I never quite fit growing up and I had to kind of create something, create a world that I fit into. I mean, it wasn't that I was such an outcast, but it was like, if I'm going to be honest, I really just want to do stand up, you know, and I, right up until I started stand up, I was like, maybe I'll be a writer. Maybe I'll do this. The minute I started doing open mics, I'm like, this is kind of all I want to do. And there was a lot of like having to not lie to people, but just go, oh yeah, I do sets at night and I'm still trying to be a writer and maybe I'll get a day job. But in the back of my mind, I'm like, I will burn everything down if I can just be a comedian. I don't care about anything else. This is all I want to do. You know,
and then you did,
yeah,
yeah. And it's weird when you reach that realization and realize that a lot of people just don't think that way about the creative arts, where there's always some kind of backup or they're hedging their bets. And I was like, I don't want to hedge my bets. This is all I want to do, even if it means I can live with five people and you know, shop at Aldi and Goodwill for the rest of my life. As long as I can be doing stand up, I'm fine.
Yeah, you're like, Cameron will always be there for me.
Cameron will give me rides.
But yeah, I mean, his last name is, his real last name is Hawk, and he flies through the sky.
Hey, you know, guy, it's a bird name. He's up there and he flies around.
That's insane. That's so, you know, crazy.
The way God thinks sometimes, it makes you shit. You know, when you think about it, when you think about the when you think about eternity, it'll make you shit, you know?
I did just now.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Well, if you didn't, you know, use up your last favor by bringing your daughter to his warehouse to be taught a lesson. We would love to have him on this show.
Oh, okay.
You're not. I know you always are very nice about this sort of stuff, you know, and so I appreciate that. But, you know, you don't have to commit to it now.
One of the most chill Zen human beings on the planet. So absolutely.
Yeah. But then he'd have to talk to us, though.
Well, that'll be part of my work. I'll give him, you know, by the way, here
are maybe. Maybe he has an embarrassing middle name and he'll just hang up on us.
I thought you were going to ask for skating lessons. I was like, my ankles don't go well.
Yeah. He's like, my middle name is Armadillo.
My middle name is Tortoise.
I'm just a rude armadillo hawk. Patton Oswalt, what a delight. What do you got? We talked about your gigs this weekend. Is there anything else that you'd like to plug?
I mean, I've got shows coming up. You can go to pattonoswalt.com. In June, I'll be everywhere. I'll be in Lincoln, Nebraska. I'll be in Austin, Texas. I'll be I'll be out in Montclair, New Jersey. I think both the Austin shows are sold out, but there are tickets left for the other one. So, and I'll be at I'll be hosting a gala at Just for Laughs in July. So come and see me.
Yes. And, you know, look at his socials and watch him, watch him find incredible mentors for his child.
Yes. That's going to be my next project, is mentor my daughter.
Yeah. I mean, why aren't you
in a way that I get free swag?
Yeah. You should, you know, you turn into King Pat and see if she's got some sort of, you know, huge sports career locked in there somewhere.
Oh dear God. I would never do that. Oh God. No. And that's why also, I don't want to be the jock version of the nerd dad, which I do see a lot amongst nerd dads, which is like, you're going to like all the realms that I like. You're going to be into Star Wars. You're going to be into Marvel. It's like, show them Star Wars, but if they're not into it, don't keep shoving it down their throat.
Yeah.
But is she?
She's not into Star Wars. No, but there's a couple of Marvel things she likes. but right. She's not like, oh, I want comic books all the time. She likes playing basketball. She likes skateboarding, stuff like that. So she's, trust me, she has her own interests.
All right. Well, who can we find in the world of basketball to teach her a thing or
two? LeBron.
Yeah.
LeBron James.
What have you got to plug, Doug?
Every first Thursday of the month here in Austin, Texas, I've got a monthly show with my pal Mike Weeby. It's loosely comic book themed called Excelsior. It's at Buzzmill East at 8 p.m. every first Thursday. Next one's June 2nd. And then June 9th, I will be in Richmond, Virginia at the Richmond Film Festival part of a screening for our movie, The Disappearance of Toby Blackwood. And that will be at 10 o'clock Thursday, June 9th at the Bow Tie Movie Theater. Yeah, come on and check it out.
Bow Tie Cinemas, that's a big chain in Virginia.
There you go. I will not be wearing a bow tie.
No. What 900 podcasts are you doing right now?
Oh my God, there's so many of them that you can learn about all of it over at the flagship DougLovesMovies.com.
There you go.
Sign up for the Wide World of Doug's Twitter. It's spelled Wide World Zero Doug's because that's the best I could get. But sign up for that. Doug Loves Movies on Twitter spelled out. Doug Benson on Twitter. Doug Mellard on Twitter. Patton Oswalt on Twitter, right?
Patton Oswalt, easy to find.
Yeah, keep it easy. That's what I tell people with their Twitter names, but they won't listen. Thanks, Patton.
Yeah, man, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me on, guys. I will talk to you soon.
All right, thanks, buddy.
All right, man. I just hit leave, right? I'm good.
Yeah, you're totally good. You just leave.
All right. Okay, I'm gonna leave. Bye.
Okay, bye. Left. All right, so now let's talk about him. We've never had this opportunity to just immediately talk about him. But did you come up with any names for this episode, Doug?
Ooh.
I thought of one.
Doug Atui?
That's the one. As always, Doug Atui!
Got it.
1, 2, 3, 4. Those are numbers. But you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on Auto Trader. They're really good at numbers. Auto Trader.